Well, it's good to look at the prophet Elijah's life. He was one of the great followers of the Lord in the Old Testament, and he had his ups and downs, as you and I do. So when we look at him, we just don't want to see him. We want to see how God showed himself to Elijah. So even those stories about Elijah, really the stories about the Lord and how he'll interact with you in the days that you have. So we're picking up kind of in the middle of Elijah's exciting life with God. Elijah's life might be described in a song that maybe children sang when they were riding in their little red wagon. I don't know if you had a little red wagon growing up or you bought one for a child. And the song goes something like this. Four wheels on my wagon and I'm still rolling along. And then three wheels on my wagon and I'm still rolling along. Down to one wheel on my wagon and I'm still rolling along. And then no wheels on my wagon and I ain't rolling along. And sooner or later, the wheels are going to fall off your wagon following the Lord. And they did for Elijah. And so, about that, the difference in that four wheels is important for us to know. From the mountaintop, being close to the Lord, seeing God have a great victory, it was God plus one against 450 false prophets. And the Lord comes through and gives a big win for Elijah. He goes from there to the spiritual valley and says, Lord, the only thing I want to do is die. I've had enough. And then some have prayed, you know, along with Elijah in those cases. And then, within a short amount of time, Elijah lives through a tornado. And then he lives through an earthquake. And then he lives through a volcano. Okay, I mean, it is one trial after the next, and God is with him through this. And then there's a still small voice, and God, the Bible says, whispers to Elijah. And he says, Elijah, what are you doing here? You know, and because Elijah was really wanting to know God, he heard the still small voice. And there was a point of comfort there. And you would think at this point Elijah would have said, you know, thank God for his faithfulness. I mean, he was with me in the best times. He was with me when I wanted to die and through these trials and kind of in between. But part of Elijah is still stuck on himself, believe it or not. Maybe you could identify with that. Let's take a look at Elijah's heart and see ourselves and see the Lord there. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel, he was pretty much as close to the Lord as you can get, and God came through for him. And then he pretty much falls down and has a failure in his walk with the Lord. You might say he ran out of spiritual gas right after a very close time with God. And when there's an old devotional that Chuck Swindoll had, which goes along with the sermon title, the title of the devotional was, Beware of the Heights. Okay, beware of the heights. And the Bible says if in a time of closeness with God, we think of ourselves a bit too much, too big for our britches, you might say, spiritually, God would tell us in his word, the Lord knows the proud from afar. So God is, if we get proud in a moment of spiritual closeness with God, God is going to say, I have to move back from a heart that's too self-sufficient. Okay, so the Lord wants us to have that warning and know that warning. And Elijah, he is spent emotionally. He's down. And the honeymoon is over between him and the Lord in terms of what he saw God do. And pretty much with you and I, it's back to everyday life a lot of times after we have a mountaintop experience with God. And a lot of us have had them, and they are a true blessing that God sends to rescue us. And following Jesus has been described in this way, which I had shared before. 10% of our Christian life is pretty much on the mountaintop in terms of our experiences. They are great blessings, time of closeness. 10% of our times are in the deep valley, very painful, You know, you don't know if you can face another day. For some people, they say, well, I think my life has been a lot more than 10% in the painful valley. That might be so. If your name is Job or Joseph, they would say, yeah, that's right. You know, I was there, but God was close to the brokenhearted. So I was in the valley, but I know the Lord was close to me there. And then about 80% of our life, you might say, are peanut butter and jelly, follow Jesus days, where we live on the daily bread. You know, we're taking it one step at a time, and we're on that plateau. And looking at those in Elijah's life and our life can be very helpful. If we look at the mountaintop and say, hey, I seek the mountaintop. I want to be on the mountaintop all the time. I'm missing the point of the mountaintop. Because the point of the mountaintop is not the mountain. The point of the mountaintop is the Lord being there for us. And if God lets you be on the mountaintop, the purpose is not for you to stay there. Because too many people live on the plateau and in the valley for you to stay on the mountaintop. Because you won't be any good to them there. You'll need to go and be where they are. And so to seek that would not be the will of God for Elijah. He did not stay there. He was reinstated as a prophet to go and serve the Lord on an everyday basis. So the mountaintop's a blessed experience, but a dangerous experience. Coach of the Pittsburgh to go stay. Every player in the NFL is trained to face adversity. And that's true. You know how to deal with a fumble or, you know, sprained ankle or whatever you're dealing with. But he said this, I want to know how a man responds to victory. Because that's what shows me what his character is really like. Okay, so when that's Elijah, when you're close to the Lord and you're on the mountaintop, how will you respond? Will you respond with gratefulness and more leaning on God, or will you respond in an unhealthy, healthy manner? And God will have to, he'll just come and rescue you. Say, I give up on you because you failed the test of success. So Elijah is struggling with this. He says, I'm a part of what God did. It's almost like he says, so get on my level. And God comes to Elijah in chapter 19 and he says, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah says two different times, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. I am the only one left. And someone said, anytime you get your two big eyes on yourself, you're headed for spiritual unhealth. Okay. And the focus on self will bring you down every time, even on a mountaintop experience. You could think of different examples of this in the Bible. James, John, and Peter, they go on a close time with Jesus, like a little retreat on a mountain. And, of course, I mentioned last week, Moses and Elijah appear to them. So you can imagine going on a retreat with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And those disciples, they come off the mountain, and they find a boy who's being hurt by demons, and they can't help him. They say, well, we were just with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and we can't help this boy. Showing how limited the disciples are in their own strength, even after being on the mountaintop. Peter also, remember in the before the Garden of Gethsemane, if everybody else bails out on you, Lord, I will not. And all the others say the same. We want to think out about ourselves, but our strength is not in ourselves or our experience. Our strength is in Christ. So he's our solid foundation, mountaintop, plateau, valley. And remember, it was the unhealthy Christians in Revelation who said, I'm well off and I am in need of nothing. And Jesus had to straighten, you know, say, get over here toward me. And it's easy to do. Perhaps you've said or thought at one time, I've been very zealous for the Lord. And you put in your favorite experience with God. For the phrase the Lord. I have been very zealous for prayer. I'm the only one left. Or I've been very zealous for missions. And I'm the only one. And I think, you know, we are the only ones who, and you fill in the I close to the Lord, or was I out of fellowship with God because of the focus of my heart was not certainly God's greatness and how to help others. The focus of the heart was, I'm feeling pretty good, and I would like to stay this way until heaven. If you're in a spiritual victory and God provides them, be careful. Elijah teaches us about the greatness of God's character and the fallibility of followers of God. Okay, so sometimes you'll learn that about yourself. Greatness of God's character, the fallibility of yourself. You'll learn that about your brother and sister in Christ. You know, don't flip out if your brother and sister in Christ falls down. You're learning about the greatness of God's character. He's going to lift them up again. And the fallibility of other people. The Bible says, if you think you stand, be careful so you don't fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Charles Spurgeon, commenting on that verse, said, when you have success, be more loving and holy fear and thankfulness. So when those times come and you say, this is so wonderful, thank you, God, for you. I'm so glad you're God. Run to Him in hope and holy fear and thankfulness. People did that in the Bible. They recognized their own frailties. Daniel, when God blessed him, he stayed with the Lord. He drew closer. He didn't say, I'm tired of all these pagan kings. They're impossible to work with. He drew close to God and blessed those. You know, more and more in serving. Queen Esther did the same thing. Had a great position. She could have said, hey, I'm the queen. I'll just stay up here. If these Jewish people perish, it's probably because they don't love the Lord. She said, well, no, I'm jumping in there to help the ones really going to get hurt. Apostle John did the same thing on the Isle of Patmos. Draw me nearer, Lord. Robert McShane, he was a revival preacher. He said, every sin committed in the lives of people resides in my own heart. Why did he say that? Was he having a bad day? Or was he just saying he realized all his strength and moving forward in the Christian life was in Christ. And there's a safety there. And you don't even have to love the mountain. See? Or seek the valley. There'll be enough of those. Or the plateau. Two fast examples of men who, when they were blessed, they drew closer to God, as far as I know. One is named Pat Williams. He was in management for the Orlando Magic basketball team. He drafted such players as Shaquille O'Neal, if you follow that, and Moses Malone, years ago, Billy Cunningham for the 76ers. And him and his wife were committed Christians. They raised four children. And as he got more and more responsibility in management, he adopted more and more children. He adopted 14 children from 8 different countries. It's really tremendous. And he poured his life into these children. And they all follow the Lord. If you see a photo of his family, it looks like an Olympic Games, you know. Just every country, it seems, you could think of. And the more God blessed him, the more responsible he became, and the stronger Christian he became. So he didn't make an idol out of the mountaintop. He served more thankfully and fervently. The second example is some of you are familiar with R.G. Letourneau. He's an old Alliance guy. He was a rags-to-riches story, spiritually and responsible-wise. He didn't graduate from high school. Okay, so some of you say, that's me. Didn't go to college. Started off iron worker, machinist, farmer, coal miner, car mechanic. He says, that's what I want to do. He starts to do these things, and one day he buys a tractor. His mind gets thinking, I'm going to buy a tractor. He sees a guy with a scraper, so he gets together and says, I wonder what you could do with a tractor and this piece of machinery. And he starts to think, okay, I can move dirt in different ways. And he begins to put his knowledge and his emphasis in honoring God through his work. That's all he wants to do. And his company grows so big, he has to sell it to Westinghouse Brake Company. And the machines that he made supplied the U.S. Army in World War II for what they needed to get their jobs done. So God really just, you know, his life took off. And it was all because God's hand, not in himself. On his gravestone was the verse, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And Letourneau, he started off as a guy who gave generously, you know, worshiped God in with offerings, tithes. And toward the end of his life, he was committed to giving away 90% of what he had. God gave him so much, he said, I can't, it's too hard for me to manage all this, you know. I give to honor God and to help other people. And so to ask God, when you're on that mountaintop, to let you be responsible and thankful and lean on him more than ever so you don't fall off the horse like Elijah did. And even if you do fall off the horse, which we've all done, what did God do for Elijah? He said, hey, just go and keep doing what I tell you. You know, God ministered to him. Your failure isn't final as a Christian. If you've been on a mountaintop and now you feel like, I'm in the valley, God's never going to let me feel close to him again. Hey, he loves you. He really will be faithful to you in whatever part of life. Consecrate your victories to Christ and keep them safe there. And they'll be trophies of his grace. And you'll enjoy them more than ever. Because you'll be thinking of him and be full of gratitude. Let's pray as his people. Lord, thank you for working through this man, Elijah. And you even said we could pray like him in the book of James. We're not sure if we can, but you said we can, so that's true. And we want to have a heart toward you. Use us more than we think. Help us when we're on the mountaintop. Give us a steady walk with you for most of our lives. And we're in the valley. Help us to know you'll walk us to the other side. You're not going to leave us. So bless each one here, Father. And to be, as I mentioned the first service, Lord, just felt led to say that if you're a Christian in America, Lord, we're pretty much on the mountaintop in terms of responsibilities we have. And help us to serve. Help us not to say we and only we know what to do with God. May we seek you and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.